Okay, we're doing Perek Kuf Chav Zayin in Tehillim, and it says Shir Maros L'Shlomo, Im Hashem Lo Yivne Bayis. If God doesn't build the bayis, then Shav Omlo Bono Bo. Then it's worthless for anybody to be involved. All his work, all his involvement is a worthless thing. Im Hashem Lo Yishmo Ir. God doesn't guard the city, Shav Shokat Shomer. It's worthless that the strivings of the guardian of the city, it's worthless all the work of the guardian of the city. But all his watching and all his carefulness, it's a worthless thing. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, here you are. So Rashi says, Shir Zeh Omar David al Shlomo Beno. This shir he said about David his son, Shatzipa Baruch HaKodesh, he saw through prophecy, Sha'osad Livnos Beis HaMikdash, then the future he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash, Ubo Bayom Isa Shlomo as Bas Paro. That very day he married Bas Paro. Well, Zen Emma, and this is stated, Rashi quotes Yirmiyahu, Ki Al Api Val Chamosi Hoyisali Hoyir Azos. It was through my anger this city became into existence. L'minayom asher banu oso, from the day that it was built. It was built with my anger. L'kach oma mizmar zeh, therefore David said this mizmar, and what he's saying is, lama l'cha b'ni, what are you doing, my son? Livnos bayis, to build the house, a beis hamikdash, v'lasu me'acharei amakam. And you turn away from God. Since he, God, doesn't desire it or doesn't want it, it is simply worthless. Simply worthless. All your work in building it is worthless. Okay? Question is like this. Let's say, for instance, I study all of Tefillah. I know Tefillah very well, and I turn to God and I pray to God. Simultaneously, I still talk Lashon Hara. Now, if I talk Lashon Hara, what does that have to do with my tefillah? It's true. There's something wrong with me. It's wrong. I mean, I'm violating God's laws, right? So there's something wrong. But this I'm doing right. My tefillah I'm doing right. I mean, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, I mean, there were miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, when you prayed in the Beis HaMikdash, the tefillos came very fast, so there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind that it's coming directly from God, not through the laws of nature. Today when we pray, we could get it in 10 years, and it could be because of our tefillah, but we don't know. It's hard to know. I mean, it's so long, you have to work it out, you know, whether it came from God or whether it came by accident, you see? That time, when you pray, there's a special tefillah that Shlomo said, that he asked that when somebody prays in the Beis HaMikdash, it should come so fast that there's no doubt in his mind that it's coming directly from God. And there were miracles every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech. Talking about Shlomo HaMelech, it's true, he made a mistake. A lot of the Avos made mistakes. Certain mistakes. I mean, but to say that God is, from the day it was built, God was angry with the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, the Beis HaMikdash was done correctly. What's wrong? What's wrong with the Beis HaMikdash? What's wrong with it? You did everything right. Hey, you made a mistake. I'll have to do tshuva on it. Whatever, you know, you married Bas Paro. It's a catastrophe. But the thing is, I mean, you see the results that it was special. We had the Beis HaMikdash. And of miracles and things like that. What does it mean he was angry from the day it was built? What does that mean? There are two types of actions that you could do. One type is a practical. Let's say I have a strategy, and the purpose of the strategy is to carry out I should get some result from it. So there, the whole purpose of the thinking and the thought in my training is to bring about a certain result, you see. But however, the halachic system, the purpose of the halachic system is to perfect you. So therefore, the halachic system, the object, in other words, like this. Yeshua ben Nun, according, like Avram ben Aramam points out, he says, like Yeshua ben Nun, shook a lulav and I shake a lulav. He put on tefillin, I put on tefillin. It's the same thing. Same thing. No different. You see? But the fact is there's a difference in his relationship to it. You see? So therefore, the halachic system, the result of the halachic system is not the act itself, but it's what framework you come to the halachic system. In other words, you can't keep halachic system without a framework. There must be why you're doing it. There has to be some framework in which you're operating. So some people work, they were raised that way. So their framework is, I love my parents, and so therefore I keep the halachic system. Certain people keep the halachic system because they see, because they accept God. Then there's a further development until you reach Yeshua ben Nun. So the nature of the object, the nature of the mitzvah, the very object of the mitzvah is really what it is dependent on the person that does it. You see? In other words, it's totally on the person that does the mitzvah. That's the nature of the mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah is not only the halachic part of it, but in the framework in which you keep the halachic part, that becomes the nature of the mitzvah. That's what we see from here. Because why? Because it's halachically that the Beis HaMikdash was built perfectly, or not it wouldn't have operated. It was 100% perfect, yet Rashi quotes a pasuk that God hated it from the day, he was angry with it from the day it was created. It was built perfectly, but it was all because of the builder. The nature of the Beis HaMikdash must incorporate the builder, you see? And so therefore the nature of the halacha is based on the builder. Yeah, the thing is that definitely there's one thing he's angry with Shlomo. Shlomo made a mistake, okay? But however, the fact is that the building itself has the nature of the builder. Even if you do it 100% halachically correct. Like Avram ben Arambam says, points out, Yehoshua ben Nun puts on tefillin. I put on tefillin. Is there, that means there's no difference between me and Yehoshua ben Nun. There's a difference in the halacha itself, in the framework of the halacha, and the halacha is that framework. Whatever you do, it's in your framework.
So should that be the
what? Yeah, okay.
What's the
right.
question?
The question is that why is it that when you have a superego and the only way to undo the superego is through seeing chachma every single step, and that's the way you remove the superego, why does it work? The answer is that the Yetzer Hara could only work only while it's hidden. But as soon as it comes into view of the mind sees the stupidity of the ideas and it has to disappear. Can't operate when the mind sees it. You understand? Like, that if you, through Chazal, you see that the mind sees it. But the thing is, there is a method of cure that Freud discovered, right? The thing is, the whole cure is the mind seeing, just seeing the unconscious. And that is the cure. You see? The cure is, the only difference is what reality are you looking at? Mishlei looks at reality in general, and that's good enough for most people. But then there's a further step. What if I can't undo it because the unconscious is too strong, right? So the thing is that then you have to investigate the Yetzer Hara itself. But before you investigate the Yetzer Hara, you must investigate reality. How do you know you're in reality or not? You first must know what reality is. You see, a lot of people work on psychology. Psychology by itself is not going to do it. You must know what reality is. That is the first step. That's Gemara and Mishlei. I mean, yeah, that's the first step. But then later on, then you must include the Yetzer Hara. See, Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Yetzer Hara is meshuga, psychotic. The unconscious is psychotic. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Now, you could, if you start living based on the unconscious, then you're psychotic, right? But the thing is, if you have a sense of reality, as soon as you see the unconscious, so the thing is that you see it's crazy, so it disappears. As once you bring it to the conscious, you see? So the thing is that the whole purpose of Torah is to bring reality to the mind. Once it's clear in the mind, so then it's simply, once it's clear to the mind, then it just disappears. See what I mean? In other words, if you know where you're operating, even if you know the ideas where you're operating, it could still be a superego. In other words, if you... No, because you haven't changed your personality, because the personality hasn't changed. In other words, like this. Let's say you learn a Pasuk in Mishlei, right? All right. Now, so it affects your soul to a certain extent. Okay? Hardly measurable. Okay? I'll tell you of an idea I heard 100 years ago from Rabbi Chait, okay? So he said like this. He said that, you know the story of Rabbi Akiva? He went to learn when he was 40. He couldn't learn. He spent 6 months there and he couldn't learn, so he decided to leave. So he went to, left. That's it. To relax, he walked through the woods. He saw waterfalls. Beside the waterfalls, there was one drop hitting a rock and it made a hole. He says, if that water can make a hole in the rock, so learning can make a hole in my my intellectual head. Okay, and so he went back to learn. All right. So I would ask a question. Let's understand the rock. Okay, was it the last drop that made the hole, or was it each drop made a hole in the rock? What would you say?
Each drop.
Okay. So what's the difference between the first drop and the billionth drop? What's the difference? If each one makes a hole in it, what's the difference? What's the culminate? So what's the difference? What's the difference between the beginning of the process and the end of the process?
The last one was doing it on a bigger hole. Drop
the when you say a bigger hole, what do you mean?
I mean, it was done already. Most of it was done and it just did the end.
Yeah. What? No, yes? Right. The first few was not observable. The first billion drops, it's making a dent, but it's not observable. After a certain amount, became observable. So he says, it's not that I can't learn. It says, and learning has to make an impression on me, but it's just not observable to me. Can you imagine this guy was an ignoramus? An ignoramus means he didn't know alephbeis, but the guy had a mind. Yeah, I mean, an idea like that. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're talking about 40 years old, the guy never learned. So you see, the guy had a mind. Just that he didn't have, a natural thinker. So the thing is that's what he's saying. He's saying that when you learn, in other words, you could learn 50 psukim and mishlei, you don't notice anything. You have this knowledge. You see? But then suddenly it becomes observable that suddenly you make a difference. It's like a discovery. Like, let's say something comes up and you make a decision, and then you suddenly notice, I made a decision differently than the way I usually make it without thinking about it. See, that's when you notice it. It's a discovery. You don't notice the change in yourself, but when you suddenly see a discovery, a new way that you're acting differently, then you realize that all the learning affected you. You see? Sometimes it's the way you think. It's a change in the way you think. Like if you're learning halacha and you're training your mind and thought, it's the way you think. Sometimes it's the way you make decisions and your personality that changes. You see? And then if in the everyday life, the way you make decisions, the way you think about things in everyday life. You see? So suddenly you notice. It's not a force. It's not a superego. It's a natural thing. And naturally you notice you think differently. That's when you know when you took a certain step. But that step is always happening on every pasuk or every tosfos that becomes 100% clear, and you see every step in it, that has to affect the soul. That definitely affects the soul. But however, it's not noticeable for weeks, months, or years. Suddenly it becomes noticeable, you see. But if you go through a tosfos 100% clear, that affects the soul. It means that every single step is worked out. Yes, sir. Yeah. The thing is that you could be the biggest lamdan, but you didn't go through every step. In other words, you're interested. See, both two people start out with a desire for the result, to become a chacham. But one only works on, he goes through the steps because he knows that's what a chacham has to do, but it's not thorough every single step. The step is not the important, it's the result. To the other guy, at a certain point, it becomes the means, like this idea, if you listen to this idea, so then if this idea becomes real to you, you see this idea real, it's not that you force yourself to go through every step, you'll notice that you, when you're working through, you did it, you see? In other words, when you're operating, you don't think about it. That will just be like when we used to learn how to drive, so you have to do the wheel, the brake, the gas, and the shift. Like if you try to concentrate on all those things, you get into an accident. It has to become natural where you do it. Now the thing is that you have to learn naturally. When you get through, then you go back and say, did I go through every step? Then you check yourself out afterwards. You see? That you could do. You see? But if this idea is real, then there should be a natural change. Something might not be noticeable, but there will be a change. It might not be noticeable yet, but there had to be a change to the soul if it becomes 100% real. And that is the basic foundation of all of knowledge. You have to have that first before you can become a chacham. You see, that was the problem with the people, the students of Rabbi Akiva. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that they wouldn't help another guy because it would take away from their time. To help a weaker guy would take away from their time. You see? They were totally driven by the superego. And it wasn't just chachma to just do, what's the difference, what the question is? Whether it's a simple question, abstract question, you're involved. Naturally, you're drawn. It's a curiosity that I'm curious to get involved. What's the difference? You see? So the thing is, for their level, they deserve the punishment for that. Because they were driven, they should have been out, for their level, they should have been out of it. But they never got out of it. You see? That was Rabbi Akiva's students. You see? That's what you have to work on to get out of it. You could be the biggest lamdan, then they got a plague because of it. This is the basic foundation of Jewish education. This is the beginning. It has to be a change in the way you operate, and that can only come from every step and also from Musa. Must come those two ways you need. In other words, the whole system of Torah helps you get Chachma from every different angle. Torah is not one area. Torah is a system. There's many, there's Halacha, there's Musa, there's God. You understand? So therefore, each one has to do its job. But insofar as the beginner is concerned, I'm saying that to start off to be a chacham, you have to be interested in the process, not the result, and that will affect the way you look at a Gemara. And that change comes, one is from making sure that you check over every single step, because that's the way the mind sees the truth, and two is, in particular, Musar helps you deal in everyday life where it becomes a reality how you make your decisions based on ideas, not based on just your feelings or superego.